Good afternoon, South Africa, and welcome to the first ever episode of Sustainable Spaces. And I'm really excited to be joining you today. My name is Tinashe Venge, and we're going to be talking all things solar, all things alternative energy, and just solutions that we can use to handle, that we can harness to handle exactly the challenges that are being posed by the energy crisis right now in Mzansi. I'm not going to be alone today because it is a very informative discussion. It's packed full of information and education that hopefully you can use to take home with you. I'm joined by a panel of experts, starting with head of Luxi, Mark Duplessis. Welcome. We've got Fezile Dlamini, who is the founder of Green Scooter. And then we've got Lungile Mashele, who is an economist and energy expert. Thank you so much for joining us here. We're really, really excited to unpack the discussion at hand. Just before we really get into it, I want to start by asking Mark Duplessis to introduce Luxi a little bit, to just explain exactly what Luxi is about. I'm sure you'd be familiar with the brand. I've seen it all over social media as well. I know they do a lot when it comes to energy and solar and backup power, but I'd like to understand exactly how the organization works. Mark, welcome. How are you today?
Tinashe, thank you. It's great to be here. So Luxi is a business owned by Standard Bank.
Yeah.
What we do is we focus on saving homeowners money. We talk about home efficiency, and we really believe that reducing the cost of running homes and managing homes is a really important outcome for South Africans. So with what's going on in our market and in our country, we really are focused on energy right now. What can we do to help homes reduce the costs through home efficiency? So there can be anything from free tips and tricks to reduce the cost of running your home, through to water heating. How do we help homes reduce the cost of heating water for their homes? And then, of course, production of energy and storage of energy, which is a big area of focus. We've seen what's going on within the solar industry in South Africa. So Luxi is there to help homeowners find fully vetted, trusted providers. So we really focus on bank grade vetting of installers, providers, and then, of course, offering lending solutions through the parent business, being Standard Bank.
That makes sense.
To make it more affordable so that homes can be more resilient and make life a little bit easier at home as we go through these challenges.
That is absolutely incredible. And I cannot stress just how crucial the work that you're doing is right now. We're speaking during the coldest week of the year in South Africa. So energy reports across houses are probably surging right now. And as well as that, we know what the climate is. We understand exactly how load shedding has affected South Africa. I read, 3,200 plus hours of load shedding just in 2022 alone. Every day that load shedding is impacting South Africa, it's costing businesses up to 900 million rand per day. So the situation is absolutely serious, and we need to ensure that we unpack this and understand the solutions that are available to us as consumers and perhaps even as business people. So before we get into the actual discussion today, I know that we've got listeners joining us on Twitter Spaces. Shout out to Twitter Spaces. We've got listeners joining us and viewers joining us on LinkedIn Live as well. So we're going to be having a really interactive discussion. We want you to be involved as well. We want to understand exactly how we can help you, give you the knowledge to solve your potential energy crisis. So throughout this entire conversation, please do send through your questions. Use the hashtags SBLove with the blue emoji heart and the hashtag it can be. And also, there's a little bit of an incentive here. So we're going to be giving away one EcoFlow River 2 portable backup utility at the very end of this episode. And the only way that you can enter and be eligible to win is by sending through questions. So just because your questions aren't answered, it doesn't mean you've won, but we will be picking our winners from those who do submit their questions. So if there's anything that you want to know, please, let's make the use of our power panel today and really unpack the discussion. So I'm going to start with you, Lungile, because you're the closest to me. I know that you're an economist. I've seen your work on social media. You understand the landscape of South Africa, the challenges that we're facing, not just on an energy level, but on a socio-economic level as well. I always used to think solar is this thing that's very out of reach. I've never in my life thought that I could afford solar panels in my home, let alone an actual solution. But we're seeing a surge, especially in the last 6 months, in inquiries about solar. We're seeing people searching for solar on Google. In fact, I think I read that the import of solar panels and other parts has increased in the last couple of months as well. Can you help us unpack this? What does it mean for our climate? And when load shedding goes down, these inquiries seem to go down as well. Does that mean that maybe people are fluctuating their interest based on the current electricity situation?
Absolutely. So thank you for having me. You know, one of the key things that I want us to think about when it comes to solar is that it is energy from the sun, in essence, right?
Yeah.
And that is typically free. But now you need to harness that. And you need to harness this through PV panels. You then need inverters as well. And you're then also looking at batteries that can store.
Yeah.
Typically, this is a system that can run you up in the tens of thousands.
I can imagine.
And this is not really attainable for most people.
Yeah.
And this is why, you know, having products such as Luxi is so important, because they're able to provide solutions for the lower end of the market right up to the higher end of the market,
okay,
which is then naturally tied to your affordability. Solar is certainly the way of the future. In fact, it is the future already. South Africa also has the best solar resource in the world.
Wow.
So there is absolutely no reason why we cannot use this to power up our homes. The question is, and this is, you know, part of what Luxi does, is to look at what solution do I need for my house? What size is my house? What applications can I possibly use? In terms of what has been happening in the country over the last month and naturally has been driving sales, or the lack of sales rather, is that people have not been demanding as much electricity. It has been out of the norm, you know, warmer weather.
Yeah.
We were experiencing just up until, you know, Sunday, temperatures in the 20s, which is not necessarily what you'd expect, like for especially a Joburg winter.
Yeah.
Eskom has also done a significant amount of, you know, maintenance prior to the winter season. We've also seen a significant reduction in industrial demand. This has also been tied in with reduction in maintenance, which has freed up capacity on Eskom's side. So there's been a myriad of factors that have brought us to this point.
Okay.
But yesterday, as we all saw, the snow and the cold, cold winter, is that the rubber has now hit the road. Okay.
And we saw that load shedding stage shoot up, stage
Absolutely.
Four.
Absolutely. Yeah. And naturally, the inquiries are now going to start coming in, because unfortunately for most people, you need to feel it before you go out there and you act like in haste. And I'm hoping that this conversation will be about educating people so that they don't act in haste, but it's more of a measured approach in terms of getting the energy that they require.
I like that term, measured approach. You know, we're looking for informative decisions. We don't want to be impulsive, because like you've explained, it's quite an investment. You know, it's not something you can just do on the fly.
Precisely.
So Mark, when, let's say I'm a customer, I'm inquiring at Luxi, I'm on the website, I'm speaking to a consultant, and I'm looking to explore the territory of, let's just start with solar for the home, right? What are some of the checks that I as a customer need to make even before I even start speaking to a Luxi and start looking at panels and inverters and batteries, etc.?
So what we really try and focus on, we write a lot of educational information and content. We're really trying to put the word out there that think about what you can do in the home before you invest.
Okay.
Can you reduce your consumption? Are you forgetting to turn the lights off when you leave the room? Are you leaving all your appliances on standby? Are there ways to reduce your cost burden? Do you look at your geyser and do you have we have a smart geyser device or a timer that you're not heating water 24 hours a day, because the investment is big. And if you can reduce your costs through efficiency and savings before making the investment, it makes a big difference. You may not necessarily need 10 kilowatt hours of batteries. Maybe you only need 5 kilowatt hours. So we encourage customers to learn and to read up before making those decisions. When they come into our world, we do ask questions like, how much money do you spend on electricity every month?
Okay.
So we can try and give you a size up front so that we can get you a view of what this could cost you if you wanted to make the investment to a, we call it a grid-tied solar solution, which is batteries, inverters, a battery and inverter, and solar panels.
Okay.
So that's really the journey that we take the customers on. And then we've got a full concierge service within our team who takes the customer through the journey, works with our partners to make sure the site visits happen. Very important pre-inspections and site visits to understand, so the customer understands what they're purchasing.
Yeah.
As well as if there are any challenges from a compliance perspective within the home, is the distribution board COC compliant?
Okay.
If it's not, then we encourage the customer to get their house to a COC compliant level before doing a solar installation, so that it's fully compliant and safe.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. I'm glad that there is that element of determining the usage and helping people understand their usage and their current infrastructure at home before we take it a little bit further. So Fezile, I know your work from Green Scooter, seen you on social media. I know the organization as well, and extremely, you know, impressed with firstly the innovation behind it, but also secondly the sustainable approach that the organization has taken. So if you're in this situation and you're potentially looking at backup energy for your home or perhaps even for your business, let's say you're an entrepreneur across South Africa, do you look at cash options? Do you look at finance? Like, how do you assess the finances of investing in these types of energy solutions for your particular premises?
So obviously, I mean, I think how one needs to look at it is understanding their needs from as an auditor, right? So, you know, when people, you know, are looking to start integrating some renewable energies within their business or their homes, I think it's great to try and get an energy audit done.
Okay.
You know, and try to get it done from an independent person. The reason being is that you avoid this thing that we call greenwashing, which is trying to push another person's products or services because of the inevitable financial gain that they get from it.
Okay, okay.
But let's also take another further step back.
Yeah.
What do I actually look for? I look for convenience, right? But, I mean, you also have to look at a number of things. Look at how the building was done, like with what materials, right? Is there enough insulation?
Okay.
What type of panes are used? Is it a single pane? Is it a triple pane or a quad pane?
Yeah.
You know, because again, you need to look at how much heat are you bringing in, how much heat are you retaining, and how much cold air are you also retaining, because it's also seasonal. So it's something that's obviously still yet to be explored in detail,
yeah.
But what people need to look at are those things. You know, the windows that the building is constructed with, you know, what type of material is it? You know, how much heat is it going to bring in? Because that's also going to drive what the amount of times you have to turn on the aircon.
That's right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now when you look at insulation, which is also a thing, one of the worst things I think that have been built, have been created for like home, for people who live inside the household, is the sliding door. Because the reason being is that a sliding door brings in so much cold air because of all the gaps within it.
That explains my apartment, yeah. Okay.
Exactly. you find yourself living in very igloo-like conditions. So the devil is in the details. So you need to look beyond the seams.
Yeah.
And as well, you have to look at, okay, where are you actually going to be based? Are you going to be based in a special economic zone, right? Where in special economic zones, like I'll give you one in Pretoria, it's called in Tasses,
yeah.
Swane Automotive Special Economic Zone. That particular place is on a VIP grid.
Okay.
So you really know within a VIP grid, you're never going to have load shedding. Because you're in the heart of automotive where Ford is right there and all the other OEMs, you know, distributed accordingly. So when you look at that particular space, you'll get favorable rates. And obviously, how you're building if you're making products from start to finish, from cradle to grave,
yeah.
Your spend on sustainability is going to matter. Why? Your Section 12. L of the Income Tax Act, which is energy efficiency,
yeah.
You'll get those rebates there. You'll get also, you know, carbon tax act of 2019 also can benefit you as well. So when you look at it, you can't look at it like a horse, you know, walking in the streets, which has
workouts.
You know, you really have to have a wide lens when you're trying to understand your spend, because again, every single rand counts.
Yeah.
So to make it count, you need to nitpick every single thing that you don't need and things that you have to, like, you know, get some sealant, you know, close. You know, if curtains as well, you know, it's another thing we never think about. Curtains actually contribute to the amount of energy you use at home.
Wow.
Right? So, like, you know, when you look at these thick curtains that have what's that layer that they're called? The blockout.
Yes. Okay.
So blockouts actually help you retain heat, you know, when you have these, English is just running away. There's these components that you put on top of curtains,
yeah.
Right, that cover the top, that also retains the heat within the household.
Okay.
Because what people don't really think about, and it's not our fault,
yeah.
Because we're not taught to look at things that way. is that these small things contribute so much. Like, I mean, this morning was the perfect example, right? Because I slept at like probably 3:30.
Okay.
And it was really cold.
Yeah.
Last night was the perfect example for anyone to come here and really have a lot to say about sustainable energies, right? Because you see, now you're not picking up where the air is coming through. You're picking up that, okay, cool, I need a new sliding door that's got a thicker pane. I need curtains that are gonna now cover the entire area. You know, I'm gonna need to repaint a certain way within the household because I'm trying to attract as much heat as possible. And also now, also need to further think, how am I taking the heat back out come summer?
Okay, so, makes sense.
So that's how that's for me is how I look at things.
Yeah.
It seems a bit pedantic, but
no, not at
it
all.
Works.
And you know what I liked? It's a bit of a common theme that each of you has presented today so far, that it's not just as simple as getting the panels, putting them on your roof. There's a lot to look at. It's a very holistic discussion. Like you said, you're not going in with blinders. You're looking at it quite broadly. So just before we get to the next round of questions, I just want to remind, firstly, anybody who's just joined or anybody who's been listening or joined a little bit late and missed the intro, this is episode 1 of the Sustainable Spaces. We're live on Twitter Spaces and LinkedIn. This is a discussion powered by LookSee by Standard Bank. And of course, you do have the opportunity to win your own portable backup utility. We're giving away an Eco River Flow 2, and it's a great device to be able to keep your phones. We can charge a laptop with it, right? Phone, laptop, and a lot of household devices. So if you want to stand a chance to win, send through your questions. We've got 3 of the sharpest minds in this sector right now. Please send through your questions. Let's pick their brains. And let's walk away from this discussion equipped with even more knowledge. Okay, so Lungile, on to you next. There's a thread that you once posted. I think it's pinned on your profile. I think this is how I actually first came to find you on Twitter. It's about building your dream house, like literally building it. And step by step, you broke it down tweet by tweet to help people understand exactly what goes into building your perfect dream house, the ultimate testimony of your legacy, right? Yeah. Now, with all of this that we're discussing, if there's someone out there who's like, I've always dreamt of building a house, but now I'm looking at the energy situation and I want to actually be prepared, or I want my home to be prepared for all of these challenges, are there any additional notes or advice that you'd love to put on that thread? And by the way, if you haven't checked it out, head over to @Lungile_Mashele_.
Yes.
Yes, @Lungile_Mashele_. It's the pinned tweet. Check it out. But I just want to know, what else, now that we're talking 2023, would you add to that when it comes to making your home equipped for an alternative energy source?
So when I built my house, and it's in the city of Tshwane, it came with certain requirements. I needed to cook with gas, is what I was told.
Oh, okay.
I needed to install solar panels for my geyser. So I needed solar water heating. I also needed LEDs, energy efficiency lighting. They also had a requirement, like in terms of my windows, glass, as Fezile, as you know, mentioned,
It
has to be double glazed, and there were certain, you know, specifications. And this is how I was then able to get my energy efficiency certificate once the house was actually built.
Okay.
But now, I mean, I lived there for, you know, a couple of years, and then all of a sudden, load shedding became an unbearable issue.
Exactly.
And I needed to start thinking, what's the next plan? So I needed to look at my consumption, as the previous, you know, speakers have, you know, highlighted. You look at your consumption, you look at your use patterns, and you say, I need a system. What I did was that the initial quotes that I received were extremely high, and I then opted for building it in a more modular fashion. What does that mean? And this is the beauty, like, of solar, right?
Yeah.
That it's basically panels, inverter, batteries.
Battery. Yeah.
And you can build this very slowly over time. So every 6 months, when you've saved up money, you can add on to what you're looking for until you get to a system that you're very happy, you know, comfortable with.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what I did. I started off with a very basic system, and since then, in the last 3 years, I have absolutely added on. I initially did a cost-benefit analysis, took out my Excel spreadsheet, did my NPVs, and I'm like, right, my payback period is going to be in 5 years' time, and I'm so happy.
Okay.
You know what? The very first day there was load shedding, that's when my payback period was actually reached.
Really?
Because the inconvenience and the mental gymnastics that I used to do when there was load shedding before, I don't experience that anymore. So I'm not running around for those 55 minutes when there's that announcement made, trying to boil water, trying to cook food, trying to do anything. I do whatever it is that I was doing. And when I'm ready to cook, when I'm ready to do whatever, that is when it actually happens.
Okay.
So the payback period, the emotional payback period, was immediate.
Wow.
Obviously, with the increased stage 4, stage 6 load shedding that we have increased, my actual payback period, financial payback period, I think would be down to about a year.
Wow.
In essence. But I do want to caution, and you know, it's a very big thing around sustainability, and you're looking at, you know, batteries, where people get sold a number of, you know, different ideas. I was sold a 20-year battery, 20-year lithium ion battery. The OEM was correct, installers were correct, but a battery has only a limited amount of cycles.
Okay,
either 3,000 or 5,000 cycles, depending on what you're doing, even your UPS device.
Okay.
Now, if you're going to have stage 4, stage 6 load shedding every single day, where your battery is being drained four times a day, that means it's 4 cycles a day.
Okay.
So instead of your lithium ion battery lasting for 20 years, it's only going to last for about 5 years. So you're going to have a lot of very angry people going back to installers and saying, you sold me something that does not work. And I do want to caution people, it's not the product.
Yeah.
In essence, it's how load shedding is being done. It's not meant to run your battery out like that. And unfortunately, you will pay the price.
Okay, so there are some people who have this image of living off the grid entirely and not relying on any provider, no parastatals. I'm not mentioning names. I'm not trying to get in any trouble, but not relying on anybody except your own infrastructure.
Yeah.
Is that practical, or do you still need a feed of electricity into your home along with solar?
So most people do what I call, they supplement the grid.
Okay.
So you've got your own solar system, which typically works from about 6 a.m. in the morning till 6 p.m.
Okay.
Yes, you don't get full production throughout the day. So your production will peak, let's say, between 12 to 3 p.m. And then in the evenings, I then go back to my utility or to my municipality for the evening.
Okay.
If I do have load shedding in the evening, let's say at 8 p.m., I automatically kick back on to my batteries. So I do not experience load shedding at all. And this is the other thing that, you know, people just need to be aware of, that when we speak of off-grid, that means you've phoned your utility, you've phoned the municipality, you've asked them to remove the connection. Now, to be fully off-grid, you're looking at about R500,000. Completely
what?
Not worth it, according to me.
Okay.
Unless you're running some kind of industrial operation and you're very confident in what you're trying to do. But for most of us, residential, commercial, industrial, you do need to supplement the grid and go back to your utility or to your municipality at some point.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And Mark, I just want to pick up on something Lungile mentioned. She talked about a modular installation, or like a phased installation. So let's say, throwing numbers out the air, I'm not the expert, I'm sorry, but let's pretend I see that I need 12 panels on my roof, and then I need X amount of batteries and the inverter to work with that. But I can't afford to buy all 12 up front, and I can only afford maybe 3 now, and then 3 in another 6 months, and 3 in another 6 months, etc. What does that look like in my first month in my home if I was to start with just a few panels and a couple of batteries? How does that start to impact my lifestyle?
Yeah, so what happens often is the conversations that installers have with customers is, what are your essential loads?
Okay.
And the funny thing about essential loads is that every home has a different definition of what essential looks like, right? So, you know, we encourage homes to understand is that when we say essentials, we mean essentials, not, 3 air conditioners and underfloor heating. Those are not essentials.
Yeah.
It's really about your fridges, your microwave, your toaster, your kettle a little bit. I mean, kettles are quite hungry.
Okay.
But what happens is essentially, what we encourage customers to understand is that the inverter is essentially the brain of the system. So what that means is it's blending power. It's blending your solar power, your grid-tied power, and your battery power all in one space. So it's a really, really important piece of equipment, and it's advisable not to underinvest or on your inverter.
Yeah.
You can always build around the brain. So if you get a 2.5 kilowatt-hour inverter, for example, in a 4-bedroom home, you're going to probably have to buy another inverter at a later stage.
Okay, makes
sense. The recommendation, if you want to go on the modular journey, make sure that you get an inverter that's big enough to deal with your essential loads, your load shedding challenges, that you can run your home, as Lungile mentions.
Okay.
And then your batteries is really, again, about how much power you want to, how much power you need during those off stages, during those load shedding stages. And then the panels are completely about what you can afford at the moment in time. And then each panel that you add on produces more solar power for your home, charges your batteries, runs and supplements some of your washing machine during the day.
Sure.
So I've got a smaller system. I've got 5 panels on my roof.
Okay.
And I was looking today and I saw, while we were sitting here, about someone's doing something at home. Maybe it's the washing machine, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I could see that half of the power was coming from my panels and half of the power was coming from grid on my app.
Okay.
So I could really understand. And then I start to think, maybe I should get a few more panels and get most of the power on the, if it's the washing machine, whatever was drawing power at this time of day, to supplement further. So it is an absolute win to modularize. And the equipment coming into the market is really high quality. It's you know, lots of technology coming into the systems, the battery management systems, the inverters are really smart.
Okay.
And can provide that opportunity to modularize.
That's really interesting. While we're here, just for the listeners, because now questions are flying in, by the way, so I'm going to seed in a few questions from the listeners, but can you tell us a little bit more about the portable backup utility that we're giving away? How do people use that in their homes? What are some of the conveniences that it brings, the Eco River Flow 2?
So portables are much more affordable. So portables can run from 7,000 Rand, depending on how big you get them, but they can go up to 15,000, 20,000 Rand. But the portable that we're giving away today really just helps you, again, with your essentials. It's not grid tied.
Okay.
Sorry, it's not grid tied and it's not connected to your distribution board of your home.
Sure.
Which means that it's a little bit less convenient. So it's not an immediate changeover when load shedding goes down.
Okay.
You'll need to plug a few devices into your portable unit. But it certainly gives you lights, a couple of lights, your internet, as we all know.
Wi-Fi, water, yes.
Water and air and internet are that food. You know, this is how we live in this day and age. So it can deal with your internet, to keep your internet up. It can charge your phones, charge your laptops multiple times and really kind of creates that convenience in the home, not at the cost that maybe the installed solutions give you. But it's a little bit less convenient, but certainly more affordable.
Well, guys, you heard it straight from Mark Duplessis himself. So if you want to get your hands on an EcoFlow River 2, it's a nice portable backup utility. Like we said, you can plug in your devices. It keeps the lights on, keeps the Wi-Fi on, and at least makes load shedding a little easier. If you're looking to win one of those, make sure you keep sending in the questions. I see a lot of questions have come in, and one's directed at you, Fezile. Please make sure to use the hashtags. Hashtag itcanbe, hashtag SBLove with the blue emoji, and we'll make sure we pick on the best questions. So Fezile, you're the green scooter guy. We talked about greenwashing, and there's a green question coming in for you, and I guess it's a little bit broad, but somebody did want to pick on your opinion and say, if we were to all adopt, or at least as many of us as possible, adopt some greener solutions into our homes, such as solar, for example, do you think that lessens the burden on Eskom and our power utility? Do you think that eases some of the challenges that we're facing at the power plants if more and more people are adopting greener solutions, quote unquote?
Yes, but I approach that yes with caution.
Okay.
Because what needs to be, what needs to be understood is that South Africa is a developing country. And in order for us to be a developed state, we have to industrialize. Industrialization needs a lot of energy.
Okay.
So it's unfortunate that the greenwashing approach is that all types of renewables will solve our energy crisis, which in reality they won't. So if I work from home and I weld, right, I make... Let's say I make one of those things called that you put a back of a car again.
Trailers.
I make trailers.
Yeah.
There's a lot of welding, a lot of cutting, grinding, and that's a lot of energy, you know.
Yeah.
And just trying to rely on your battery packs to try and keep you running throughout the day into the night is not going to happen.
Yeah.
Right. So it's also, that's what I'm saying. There's a yes, there's a positive yes, and there's also a negative yes at the same time.
Okay.
So now let's just look at something that's also like missed in the whole conversation is you need a unique energy mix. An energy mix is needed so that people can understand that, and I'm going to use yesterday's weather as a recent example.
Yeah.
That if the weather stayed like that and the sky was like that for a good month, a lot of people at solar would be crying right now, especially if they went off the grid.
Hectic. Yeah.
Because you must understand, radiation from the sun. And how much radiation you can generate from a photovoltaic instrument, which is at its lowest, it's about 3.2 kilowatt hours. Okay. At its at best, it's about, we can probably do 5.8 to 8, right? But now with all of that, you need to understand where you are in South Africa.
Okay.
Because your coastal areas in on the East Coast, that's where you're getting your 3.2, your 3.8, 4 kilowatt hours.
Okay.
And if you're in your west, towards your Northern Cape, that's where you're hitting the high numbers.
Okay, that makes sense, yeah.
So do you see where I'm going with this in terms of how do you actually plan for this whole thing and where greenwashing is actually failing a lot of people?
Okay.
Because a lot of people find themselves in this funk, which is, I'm going to get off the grid. That's, that means you're trying to be a modern caveman.
Oh my gosh.
Because now you have to think about how much work and how much effort that you thought would go away, but now you have to action in order to live this particular, live in this bubble that you're creating for yourself.
I see that. I see that. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, mentioned, sorry. She mentioned that you know, you have to call the municipality, say City of Tshwane.
Yeah.
Get me off. I'm done. Now you have to think about the water. Now you have to think, because now the, you can't remove yourself from anything realistically. Mm. So even if you look at energy mix overall, I mean, yeah, you can probably look at hydro, but now are you living close to any river?
I'm not.
You know, do you happen to have a river running through your property? If you're not, so that's already out the window.
Yeah.
Okay. How much sun are you getting? You know, are you living in an area that is generating enough radiation?
Yeah.
If you want the best radiation in the Southern Hemisphere, you're going to go to Namibia because you'll get 50% more performance output of those solar PVs than you would in South Africa.
Okay.
Now let's also go into, will wind turbines, whether they're small or big, like will they function? Yesterday was probably the best time to get that performance.
I noticed. Right? I noticed, yeah.
But at the same time, it's also seasonal. So that's, you need to be smart about
that's
it.
That's true.
So you have to make sure that if you're going to invest in this particular asset, where you place them, how you place them is very important. So financing of assets like this can't be just purely focused on one particular thing that will make people get angry in the long run.
Okay.
Because it's supposed to be a 20 to 30 year investment. But if I'm already angry within the first 3 years, what am I going to go to the ombudsman as a consumer?
Yeah.
Then there's like a geothermal energy, you know. How are we also looking at alternative ways of probably generating the geothermal energy to probably heat up or pump up my household or my factory?
Sure, sure.
I mean, I think a few years ago, probably back in 2016, I thought of this thing. I was like, you know, a shopping center has about a million people walking in and out of it per day, right?
Okay.
That's the footfall. Would have been amazing if kinetic energy could be a thing. I mean, we're all walking, we're all moving, we're generating some sort of energy.
Yeah.
Same way a geothermal works through steam.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe with all the people walking, even in a household, you know, maybe if a car which has been driving all day and it comes back and parks back home, you have a geothermal mat that draws the heat from there.
Wow.
Because you also just have to think about, where do you want the power to go?
Yeah.
So is it going to be for the lights outside? Okay, I'm going to focus on using this so that I don't find myself spreading too much, too thin.
Okay.
But then again, I mean, if you have your inverter, you also must have a BMS. So the BMS that is, or your battery management system or your energy management system that is utilized within that particular hardware is very important to optimize and maximize what you're getting.
Yeah.
And now, I think you said, how many years did it take for you to get angry at your batteries?
5 years.
About 5 years.
It's been going out.
Batteries have cycles.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what I've just learned.
But no one is also, there's a new problem that's coming.
Which is?
What do you do with the batteries that are lower than 75%? From a DoD perspective, no one's addressing that.
Okay.
So now this brings another opportunity, second life batteries.
Wow.
But again, this is probably going to be another solution that is imported, instead of it being solved right here.
Okay.
Right.
I completely understand.
So we also have to think about this, that even with financing, how do you refinance a battery so it can give second life?
Yeah.
Because it's either you you can't just really just like throw it away. You know?
Exactly.
It's bad for the environment.
So
you have to think about the recycling process.
For sure.
You know, in Germany, for example, there's a company called Remondis, which is a family-owned, beautiful. It's a beautiful family-owned company. They deal with recycling.
Yeah.
Recycling of all types of materials, and batteries is one of the things that they're recycling.
Okay.
So, I remember when I was with the company a couple of weeks ago, we touched on second life batteries. How do we actually repurpose this into the market and make sure it makes financial sense?
Okay.
Because at the end of the day, the batteries are going to be stationary.
Yeah.
So if it's going to be stationary, how are you then educating the masses that don't worry, you will get your return on investment.
Yeah.
And you can actually tokenize the whole thing. Because I think investments was a topic that we probably touched on yesterday.
Right.
Is how do you tokenize the whole thing? Tokenizing using blockchain. You know, how do you make that make sense so that people can actually live and get the actual returns all throughout? So basically what we're doing, we're creating a whole new financial system for this.
Yeah.
That's essentially what's happening, and that's what needs to happen.
That's really interesting that you bring up, especially the second life of batteries, because as we were just preparing for this talk, I came across an organization in Zimbabwe, actually, that is also venturing into solar, but their particular business model, especially considering the economy that side, they specialize in importing secondhand panels from countries like Australia, from New Zealand, and then, you know, they've still got this, I'm guessing they're still in good condition, they've got resale value, and they've created a market for secondhand goods in Zimbabwe. Do you see, and this is for anyone on the panel, do you see the potential for a secondhand sort of reusable market or pre-owned market for some of the solar tools that we're talking today?
Yes. We're literally living it right now.
Is it already like...
No, let me explain this quickly.
Okay.
Let's use cars, right?
Okay.
Everybody wants to buy a new car, but right now they're really unaffordable.
Yeah.
So what has been the boom for the past couple of years? Secondhand market.
That's right.
Right? So people don't really mind buying a second-hand car as long as it's in good condition, and I mean the total cost of ownership makes sense.
Okay. Mm.
Right?
Yeah, makes sense.
Because that's another thing that people don't get educated on. TCO. Now when you look at this in terms of batteries and solar PVs,
yeah.
This is going to create its own market, right?
Yeah.
But there's also now something we're not also speaking about. When solar panels need you to be in a standalone household.
Mm-hmm. I was going to get to that, yes. What happens to us who live in complexes and apartments?
We live in a country where a lot of people are staying in, you know, a modernized res.
Put my hand up.
So living in this modernized res, what then does it mean for me?
Yeah.
If I'm an owner, I still can't put solar PVs on the structure because I own what's inside the building, not what's outside.
Not the whole building, that's right.
Now, if I'm a tenant... and my landlord doesn't think about my energy needs, I need to find a portable UPS or a battery to like put there and charge on the go.
Yeah.
So another thing that just has to be addressed within this whole thing is how do you deal with people with sectional title deeds? How do you deal with people who are tenants? Because clearly you're missing out on a whole lot of market.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You must remember, if you're gonna install a solar PV solution or a storage solution in your household, the general way is to go through a DB board, right?
Yeah.
But now you've already breached your lease agreement. You and your landlord are going to be fighting. You're going to go to court and whatever happens after that.
Okay.
Right? So now you have to think, how do you make mobile solutions sustainable through subscription?
Okay.
So yes, there are companies that are doing it.
I've seen a few, yeah. I've seen a couple of
But wherever you move, you can do the whole installation, blah, blah, blah. But there's still a bit of an element there where you have to go into your TV board.
Okay, I understand.
So, please go on.
Just on that point that he's mentioned, it presents an opportunity for sectional title and for full title. And we've seen it happening in cities that are off-grid or that do not have electricity.
Okay.
We've seen it happening even in estates such as midstream, where they're basically saying that we as a community, we'd like our own microgrid, we would like to provide our own electricity using solar PV, we might have batteries, and we're going to own it. And now remember that there's a move to liberalize the market. So it basically means that you can sell the electricity that you generate. So I, Lungile, my house, once these regulations go through, I'll be able to sell to the city of Tshwane any excess that I have, and they'll pay me like a fee.
Yeah.
But now you've got other larger installations that are saying they would like to group together as a community and possibly sell. You are now looking at the age of prosumers. You're now looking at people who are able to make money using electricity.
That's really
interesting. You sell to ESCOM, sell to your municipality, offset your own costs.
Yeah.
Obviously, it then has a different payback period in terms of the solar that you've installed in your own house.
For sure.
And you can obviously then upscale what you're looking for, so that you produce way more than you actually need. And then, of course, if you are a standalone house, you can say, you know what, there's a nearby home or an orphanage that I'd like to supply with my excess also, and I would like to do that. You're then eligible for other tax benefits. You know, so there's a whole world that is opening up out there.
That's really
interesting. And I encourage people to basically look at the solutions that are there. If you want to go the commercial, you know, route, obviously, if you're just looking for your own conservation and your own consumption, that is also an option. But there's so many options out there.
I'm glad that you brought that up. I feel like you guys are reading my mind and pre-answering my questions ahead of time, because I wanted to speak about this. Something I've read a lot, we've seen and heard about it, especially in the city of Cape Town, consumers and residents being able to sell their power back. So for those of us living in other parts of the country, so I'm sure there's everyone tuned in from Gauteng, from KZN, please actually leave us a comment or leave us a tweet. Let us know where you're listening from, where you're engaging from, because we want to know how far away are we from this kind of reality in other metros and other cities, and maybe even outside of metros. Can someone from a remote town in the Eastern Cape also be able to tap into this if they've got a large property? How far is this from becoming a reality for any South African who can already afford this technology?
So Cape Town is there. They have asked people that are interested to pick up their hands, and they've basically said that you would need a bi-directional meter. What that does is that it meters what goes out. It also meters what comes back in as well, so that your billing is accurate at the end of the month. Then you also need very smart sort of, you know, meters in your homes. This costs about 10,000 rand just for that setup, which you as the homeowner would then have to invest in and, you know, pay for.
Okay.
Then they've even given what you call a refit, which is a renewable energy feed-in tariff, and they've said this is how much it is going to cost you, or how much we're going to pay you, right?
Yeah.
So that's already like in place.
Yeah.
In the city of Johannesburg, I think they're also, you know, maybe closer to moving in that space.
I've seen
but
reports,
it's your metros basically that are going to take this up almost immediately. Unfortunately, for your more rural peri-urban areas, you're most likely to go with what we call a microgrid option, which is not grid tied at all, but it's a standalone system that is able to supply a couple of homes. When I said a couple, I mean like a couple of hundred of homes, thousands of, you know, homes on their own grid, and it is isolated, and they basically have their own mini utility in essence.
Okay, that's really good to know. It sounds, like I said, I've been seeing it in the report, so it sounds like it is a looming prospect, but I just had no idea how far or how realistic it is for the rest of us outside the city of Cape Town. But good to hear that it's on the horizon. Interesting prospects. There's still more questions coming in from social media. And guys, I'm going to open up the floor to all of your questions. I think I've seen like 10 so far. If you still want to have your question answered, please make sure to use the hashtag itcanbe, hashtag SBLove. And remember, you could stand a chance of winning that portable power backup we're talking about, the EcoFlow River 2. Google it and check it out. It's going to come in extremely useful for you. And on that note, Mark, there's a question that's actually just come in from a Twitter user who wants to know what, and I think we've touched on this a little bit, but what do you do if you're in a place that does not have adequate sunlight whatsoever, but you want to explore solar or you want to explore other alternatives as well? So let's say someone comes and inquires, they say, please look at my home, and you see that we're not getting enough sunlight here. What are some of the steps that you take to sort of circumvent that?
So I wanted to mention the talk around sell back and an opportunity there.
Yeah,
we've
please
got
do.
A,
please
we've got
in.
A tool, and it's a link to answer your question. We've got a tool on Looksy called the Solar Score.
Okay.
And what we've done is we've partnered with a geospatial data science business who uses irradiation levels by square meter, as well as direction of the roof, vegetation around the roof, and gives you a score. And gives you an estimated output that what your roof could produce if you had the largest size system on your roof, and what that power is worth in rand value.
Okay.
And of course, it's difficult because we've used the Eskom tariff of an average of around R2.50, so it's probably overstated because, you know, as Langelius said, it's only around 80 cents to a rand that the city of Cape Town's offering. But typically we haven't seen, and just for now, it's only the tool works in the KZN or Greater Durban, Joburg and Cape Town, with more areas being added.
Understand.
In South Africa, I don't think there will be a situation where there is zero feasibility for solar.
Okay.
Of course, if that roof has literally no sunlight, there are still slight levels of irradiation, but it's also pretty unlikely, unless you're living in a forest with huge trees around your home, then not going to be much chance.
Okay.
But typically you should get enough sunlight. So a north-facing roof is the best option.
All right.
But sometimes even an east or a west-facing roof will get enough morning or afternoon sunlight to charge those batteries or use that, the power coming off that roof. So again, if you really are in an area which has got zero sunlight in a forest, unlikely that you should put panels on your roof or get some really tall poles.
Put them above
the trees.
And then when we were talking about the those of us who are living in the, what did you call them, the adult reses, as complex dwellers.
Yes.
I'm on the ground floor, and I think a lot of people will be able to relate this. I'm on the ground floor. I've got like two or three people above me. Like we said, it's not my building. It's just my unit.
Yes.
What are some of the alternative solutions then for those of us? We've talked about the portable power backups, but maybe I need something a little bit more robust to handle slightly bigger appliances.
Yeah.
I've got a family as well. What are some of the solutions for complex dwellers?
So because of the modular nature of these systems, you can get your inverter and your batteries tied into your distribution board. So it's installed backup, as it's called.
Okay.
Unfortunately, like you said, in the modern res, you can't put panels on, but that's the one component that doesn't come in. For those who are interested in technology and advancements, there's some fascinating reading around the technology around PV specifically. There's glass panes, there's roof tiles. There's paint, I believe, that can create energy. So there's these really fascinating technology advancements happening in the ability to take that sunlight and create electricity.
Sure.
Of course, the most popular and the most economical now is the PV panels. But I'm sure over time you're going to be able to go out on your patio and put some interesting PV arrays there.
I would love that.
But backup is really the only way to go. It's a convenience thing for the home. As Logili said, the psychology of not having power at the home, whether it's the teenage daughter who can't talk to her boyfriend on WhatsApp because there's no internet, or the 10-year-old son's Fortnite game dies with three players left, these things create a lot of stress in the home. And I think it's really about managing these issues and trying to find the best solutions at the most affordable price, and be very careful with your investments that you're not over-investing into something that you may be not being able to afford over a period of time.
I really like that. Some really wise considerations there. Guys, I've asked a lot of questions. I've had our panel. They're calling you the power panel, by the way, on social media. They're just absolutely loving this. I feel like I have occupied you for a long time. So I want to just open up to more of those questions from the readers that are coming through. I'm just going to open the floor, and anybody who wants to take the question can, but we can just distribute it if anybody's specifically mentioned. So someone asks, if my household is off the grid, do I then pay any tax for my solar? Like if you're completely 100% off the grid.
No, if you are off the grid, like I said, you have phoned the municipality or Eskom, you've asked them to remove you. That means that on a day like yesterday, your solar would have worked, yes, but for a certain period of the day, you would then have had to go to your generator, if that's what, because you would need backup still, right?
Yeah,
so you would have tapped into your generator earlier than what you would have expected. So from 3 p.m., it started going a bit dark.
Yeah.
You would perhaps have had to use your gas heater. You would then have to go into your gas cooking. So there are a number of other things, and there are other related costs. Do you pay a tax? Absolutely not. Where you would, and this is a new regulation that is coming up now that is saying that people that do have solar are going to have to pay an additional amount or a fee for the connectivity. And the reason for this is actually very, very simple. I have solar.
Yeah.
And at 6 p.m. or 5:30 every evening, I go back to Eskom.
Yes.
But now, on a day like yesterday, where there's intermittency, there's snow, there's all kinds of no weather, I come back to Eskom or the municipality at 3 p.m. They were certainly not expecting me. So it means that on their side, they need to have what we call spinning reserve, just to wait for me to come back online. Oh. Remember, I don't tell them when I'm coming, when I'm going, what I'm doing. I could leave my house for 3 weeks, come back like on holiday and switch on the light, and they're still going to be there. Okay. So you are going to have to pay that, what they call a capacity charge,
okay,
just for having that. And also understanding that having solar does have an impact on the national grid itself, and in terms of the backup that they need to get online also. So you're paying for that convenience.
Okay.
But that will not apply if you're off-grid.
All right. Makes sense. Yeah, please.
I think what is probably needed as well is another tax, a secondary tax on secondary carbon emissions, because as much as you're off the grid,
yeah,
you know, you're being sustainable,
yeah,
being responsible.
Sure.
That equipment that you have there, at some point has to be disposed, and someone has to pay for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Do you get what I'm
yeah,
going with this?
Exactly.
So for purchasing X, there must be an X levy associated with it, because it's secondary. But you also have to think about, who do you charge? Do you charge the manufacturer, the OEM, or do you charge the person who bought it?
Yeah.
You know, like if you're walking across in different parts of Europe, you'll probably find a penny store, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you got a bottle that's recyclable. You go to this, when you go and you buy actually a bottle of water, you pay an additional tax on that. It was like, let's say 25 European cents or something.
Yeah.
And then when you go, you consume your product, and when you're done, you want to now get something back on it, so now you get that tax back. It's like a deposit. Remember back in the day when you have a 1.25
yeah,
bottle? That's essentially how it is. And maybe that's also the most responsible way of doing it, because then it gives more responsibility on these manufacturers to actually be very responsible with producing their products.
Yeah.
That how much emissions went into it, and how much emissions are going to come out of it when we now have to dispose of the product. So there's also just alternative ways of looking at how do we better acquiring these things.
No, that's a really good consideration. I think when we're looking at the broader environmental aspect, like saying just because you're off the grid, it doesn't mean your emissions are not going to be felt by the country and not necessarily be someone else's responsibility. So very good consideration there.
Yeah.
We've got another one coming in from LinkedIn. Someone asks, what happens if I use an installer who's not bank accredited, right? And my home is still bonded. Does it affect my insurability?
So we firstly don't encourage anyone to use an installer that's not accredited.
Okay.
How
does the accreditation work?
So there are two bodies in South Africa that offer accreditation certifications.
Okay.
It's not just an electrician can go and install solar.
Yeah.
There's something called the SAPFIA Green Card.
Okay.
So it's issued to someone who's gone through the training, understands deeply how to install a solar system. Remember, we're dealing with live electricity here. This is
exactly.
Very dangerous stuff,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
And it's got to be done properly. The other body is called AREP, Association
okay.
of Renewable Energy Practitioners.
Okay.
And both of them offer training courses and programs that allow for certification. So that what the bank does encourage is, please, when you do want to get an installation done with any business, just ask them for the stuff. Ask them for a track record. Ask them for someone who they've installed before that you can phone and say, you know,
okay,
did they do a good job?
Okay.
Ask them to show you their accreditations and their
okay.
certificates. Do a little bit of homework.
Yeah.
Do a little bit of searching and researching.
Is there any way that you can search to establish that they're accredited?
Yes.
If you're doubting,
yes.
perhaps.
Yes. So on the SAPFIA website and the REP website, a lot of these businesses are listed there.
Okay, great.
And you can go and double check that these guys are fully accredited and vetted. When it comes to your second question around insurability,
yes.
It's really important when you've done your solar installation, and we do it through the Luxy business where we explain to the customers, really important to inform your insurance company that you've done a solar installation, to submit the invoices so that the company can see what you've spent.
Okay.
And then secondly, to submit the certificate of compliance.
Okay.
So your home will have a certificate of compliance for its own electrical works. you're adding a supplementary certificate of compliance when you add a solar system.
Okay.
And that certificate of compliance needs to be issued by a master electrician. So that must be submitted to your insurance business, your insurance provider, your homeowner cover.
Yeah.
Insurance companies are providing insurance for solar as part of the household, so as part of your homeowner cover insurance, building insurance.
Yeah.
At this point, it may change over time.
Yeah.
We don't know, but it's really, you know, really evolving space. And what's really key there is that your insurance will go up somewhat. Mine went up about 28, 29 rand a month, so it wasn't a big amount of money on my homeowner cover, but I know it's there and it's catered for.
Okay.
So really important.
So there's a follow-up question on that from Ndombi Redeemed, and she's asking, if you have an existing bond that you're paying for specifically through Standard Bank now, does Standard Bank Insurance subsidize me when you want to install a Luxy product?
So at this point, we don't. What we do is make sure that what we do provide an offer to Standard Bank home loan customers or any customer. Luxy is open to anyone. Okay. You don't have to bank with Standard Bank.
Okay, good to know.
Is that the pricing is competitive and open to the market in that it's benchmarked in the country's prices. The problem is a lot of people compare bananas with apricots, and they will say, "This is the solar system I can get for 40,000 rand," and you're quoting 150,000 rand, and the comparisons are different. Maybe it's a lead acid battery and not a lithium battery. Maybe the inverter is not a hybrid inverter, and it's maybe an inverter that doesn't work in that connected way.
Okay.
But what home loan customers can do is they can come into the bank and they can look to apply for a re-advance if they wanted to pay for their solar system on their home loan. So there's a product called a home loan re-advance, which is available to home loan customers, and as well as for new home loan customers, a product called the future use allowance.
Okay.
So that allows you to take up to 120% of the value of the home so that you can install water backup or a solar system or backup power when you move into the home.
Okay.
So those are options available.
Amazing. To incredible. Homeowners. Now, guys, I'm really, really getting excited by what I'm hearing here. And not excited because I'm just going to go out and buy solar panels, but excited by the information that I'm being equipped with, because at least I feel that now I know the steps to take to ensure that I make an informed decision. And I can tell you from the comments that are coming from social media, a lot of people are feeling the same. And it hurts me to say that we're approaching the very end of our session, but don't worry, guys. This is just episode one. We've got another three episodes of The Sustainable Spaces coming to you. We're still going to have Mark join us in a couple of sessions and another panel of experts where we can continue the conversation. And I want to get deep into it. I want to get into the legalities, the practicalities, the taxalities, etc. I want to know the ethics as well. I want to just broaden this conversation. In future episodes, we're going to talk beyond solar. We're going to just understand exactly the depth of solutions that organizations like Luxy can give us, empowering our homes and our offices. As it stands right now, firstly, thank you so much to everybody who's been engaging. Thank you for sending your questions. Keep sending your questions and keep using the hashtags, because like I said, we're still picking a winner for that EcoFlow River 2 portable backup that you'll be able to use and hopefully keep the lights on during colder and slightly darker times. But just before we wrap up, I just want to pass to the panel one more time. Can you please each give us one piece of advice that you'd want one of our listeners or one of our viewers to walk away with, just so that they can mull over and start doing their own research? So we're not saying walk into the store and buy the first thing, but maybe one piece of advice that you'd recommend to anybody who's looking at alternative energy sources. Once again, I'll start with you, Lungile.
So I would certainly say all of us experienced stage 6 load shedding, and we saw how that impacted on our availability of water also. So there certainly is an energy water nexus.
Yeah.
And the next frontier actually for most homeowners will be, how do I get a sustainable water supply that is off the grid, if you will.
Yeah.
And that becomes the next challenge that we then have to confront, basically.
Okay. Fizz?
Take lessons from COVID, which are, look what happened when everybody went buying toilet paper. So you don't find yourself in that situation where you're going and buying all of these things that you never needed,
because
you never understood what they were.
Sure.
Do your homework, scrutinize.
Yeah.
If it means you have to open up an exam pad and, you know, literally do the calculations manually.
Yeah.
Trust me, that works.
Okay.
It gets you to be able to even critique the person that you're engaging with.
Yeah.
Always look for an independent energy auditor that's going to help you throughout the process. If you're building, rethink building.
Okay.
Rethink your windows, rethink your curtains, your floor, the paint, every single thing.
Yeah.
Because the moment there's a draft of cold air that comes into your home, you're going to now turn your heater up a notch, and that's going to affect your rants and your sins.
I get it. Appreciate that. Thank you so much. And then Mark?
Well, I'm going to jump onto this theme that Fez put through, but it's really about knowledge is power. And,
absolutely.
And learn about these things. I mean, I was saying to Lungile when we started a few years back, I didn't know what a kilowatt hour was.
Okay.
I had no idea. It was not a part of my consideration to really care, because the utility provided me lights. When I turned the light on, there it was. And I turned the tap and there's the water. And I think, you know, it's really just around learning what's available, what's out there. Don't jump into something that you don't understand. And empower yourself with some information that you can really challenge, really ask the right questions.
Yeah.
And then invest wisely. Don't overinvest.
Yeah.
And make sure that when you do make a decision, that it's right for your home and your family.
Yeah.
And that's really the most important thing, to look after your own right now, and collectively we can all help each other and learn from each other.
I absolutely love that. You know what? What I enjoyed about today's panel, you are all aligned, and I think it speaks to the principles that you all believe in. Firstly, education. Secondly, research. Thirdly, start with what you can, not necessarily having to dive in. And I think that's what a lot of the viewers and listeners have been appreciating for today. If I can just sum it all up, if you give a family electricity for a day, if you give a family electricity, you can light up their lives for a day. But if you give a family knowledge, you can enlighten them for a lifetime. So thank you very much, panel. Really, really appreciate it. Lungile Fezile, where can we follow you? Mark, where can we follow Luxi?
I am certainly on Twitter. I'm on Instagram as well as Facebook.
Okay.
Yes, just Lungile Mashele, one word, or Lungile_Mashele.
Nice and easy.
All my social media platforms, it's at Fezile Dlamini with an H. So okay. Dhlamini.
Cool.
With an underscore. That's
brilliant.
It.
And on Luxi's side, we're part of the Standard Bank Group, so within the Standard Bank social platforms. And our Knowledge Hub, we've got tons and tons of really great information, free information, knowledge,
absolutely,
tips and tricks. So we've got a really great Knowledge Hub. Of course, at luxi.co.za is where our home is.
Great. Should anyone follow you as well?
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn. We've got a lot of LinkedIn viewers.
Come on to LinkedIn.
You're going to get a lot of invites
on the channels. But in LinkedIn, yes.
Brilliant. I just want to say thank you to the panel. Thank you to the viewers. Thank you to the listeners. Thank you for sending all of your questions in. Make sure to follow at Standard Bank ZA across all platforms, LinkedIn and Twitter, so that you can catch the very next episode of Sustainable Spaces. But from there, let me leave it. I'm Tinashe Venge. We'll be back again next time.